through a lot of amazing, diverse experiences and intellect, we think we've found a way to keep building the train tracks, meaning nice. Laying the path and being ahead by re-empowering the communities that I come from in the Emerald Triangle that have decades of experience around this plant through their genetics. We believe that you can see the importance of a microclimate. We believe you can see the importance of the grower's process when you look at the plant from its chemical and genetic values.
Is a show for me and you, the one you love to listen to. And ooh, you got your friends, see it through. Seeks laughter is medicine too.
Hello, my name is Angela Edge, and this is The Edge Show.
I'm Wendy Love Edge, and the opinions expressed by our guest may not be the opinions of Edge Productions. This is Season 7, Episode 11, What About Craft Cannabis Farmers? How you doing, Ange?
I'm doing good today. Today's better than last week.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. It's a step up, you know.
Yeah.
You're going in the right direction anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was at the beach today, which always lifts me up. And I was thinking, you know, living in the middle of the country, when you're not near the ocean at all, like you don't get that sense of the vastness of the world, you know? Like when I was pulling up and it almost looked like the end of the earth, because you couldn't see the ocean like over the little dune that was at the edge of the road.
Mm-hmm. What were you smoking on this adventure? like you're going to the end of the earth.
Well, you know what I mean? Like you couldn't really see beyond the dune. You could see the sky.
Yeah.
And then as you come up and step onto the beach, it's like, it's just the vastness of the world is like right in front of you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just gives you a different viewpoint of the world, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, we have mountains we can look.
True.
Just climb the mountain.
That's very true.
And see the vastness of those arcs here.
Right. That's true. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
if
about.
You can avoid the mosquitoes.
Right. I think about the times we went to Yellow Rock, it's called Yellow mm-hmm. Rock, right? And sitting up there and looking out on the vastness of the forest, I guess, and the mountains,
yeah.
You do get kind of that sense, but there's something about the ocean.
Yeah, it's not, you know, quite infinite though.
Right, right. Like you can't see the end of where the ocean is. It just goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, eventually there's an end, another piece of land, but.
Well, it seems like you had a good day.
It was a great day for sure.
Yeah.
So in this episode, I had the pleasure of chatting with Lelania Dubois again. I've interviewed her several times for different mm-hmm. Projects, and you know, it really got me thinking about what we like to call now sort of the legacy market for cannabis. Rather than calling it, you know, the black market, because that doesn't have a very good tone.
Mm-hmm.
These are the folks who, you know, have kind of been in it from the beginning.
Right.
And some of, not all, but many of them, or have had generations of family growing cannabis. And, you know, just kind of how they get left behind when legalization comes in and big companies with lots of money
mm-hmm.
start taking over. It's really sad. It happens with other things too, doesn't it?
I don't know, but I mean, they're doing all the work for all these years and mm-hmm. sometimes at their own risk, most of the time at their own risk.
Right.
You know, to get people their medicine. And
mm-hmm.
it doesn't make sense to me that they're being left behind.
Right. And so those legacy growers and, mm-hmm. You know, craft farmers, they get left behind. And then when full legalization comes in, patients get left behind because, you know, it's all about the money and the recreational market then, and not so much about, you know, honing the medicine for different health conditions. I mean, we can't really make claims anyway, because there's, you know, federal prohibition still exists and we're not allowed to do that. But, you know, if we're focused on cannabis as medicine, it's really a different type of market. And, you know, so it's kind of, it's something I think that the cannabis community has to come to grips with and face and work hard to make sure that those farms are included.
Right. I just, you know, feel like it's always been this way though. I mean, you think of local farmers and then they're losing out to, you know, big superstores.
That's true.
And grocery. And then at some point there was like a, you know, get back to local movement, but it still can't quite compete, I don't think.
Right. Right. And, you know, I think about, you know, Farmer Tom Lauerman, you know, OG Farmer Tom, and how he always recommends that you get to know your neighbors, what they're growing, whether it's cannabis or vegetables, fruits, whatever, what commodities they have. We kind of got away from that, but it became really important during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And to realize that we need each other and we need this local market.
Right, because when transportation shuts down, I mean, what are you going to do? Just waiting in long lines to try to get your food or your water.
You know? Right. When if you know that, you know, if you talk to your neighbors and somebody's got chickens and they've got eggs and someone
trade.
Else has a garden, you know, we did a little of that sort of, you know, sharing what we had with neighbors. But we didn't take that next step. You know, what do they actually have all the time and what do we have? And we can share in that so that we all have enough.
Right. It just seems harder to be able to do that in the bigger cities. I mean, a lot of people don't have space to grow.
Right.
I know they have some rooftop gardens and such, but it seems like it'd be a lot harder.
That's
true. I don't know how you would go about that.
Right. That's a really good point. But I think that as far as cannabis goes, this is a really important topic. And I'm so happy that Lele has been working on this project in California. And so coming up next, my interview with Lelania Dubois. Joining me now is the Chief Community Officer for Canopy Right and the founder of Humboldt Grace. Welcome to The Edge Show, Lelania Dubois.
Thank you, Wendy.
It's so nice to see you, and I can't wait to hear more about the Humboldt Grace Legacy Project.
Thank you, Wendy. Well, you look fabulous.
Thank you.
Great in embarking on this. Are we post-COVID? I don't know if we're post-COVID, but it's
not really. I have to wear a mask every day, all day at my job, and it's kind of in my face still. So I don't feel like we're over COVID, but I'm sure some people do.
I don't think we're ever going to be over COVID. It's a whole new world. But you look like you're doing well navigating it.
Oh, well, thank you. And you look wonderful as well. I'm so happy to see you here. So the Humboldt Grace Legacy Project seeks to defend, preserve, and promote small independent craft farmers and breeders. So why is this so important?
I'll give you a few of my like favorite things to say. One, we are putting the power back into the people's hands. This industry has really been a freight train on fire, and a lot of people that help laid the tracks for that freight train are being shoved out of the way. And through a lot of amazing, diverse experiences and intellect, we think we've found a way to keep building the train tracks, meaning laying the path and being ahead by re-empowering the communities that I come from in the Emerald Triangle that have decades of experience around this plant through their genetics. We mm-hmm. believe that you can see the importance of a microclimate. We believe you can see the importance of the grower's process when you look at the plant from its chemical and genetic values.
Okay.
You can really understand, does Joe grow a better medicine for nausea than Jill? And maybe Jill grows a better medicine for headaches because of what her profiles come out of. Mm-hmm. And we come from a region that has been working with the plant in understanding that without scientific method or tools, yet we have an intuitive understanding.
Mm-hmm.
What's so exciting,
right?
Science and technology are now proving and showing and validating what these decades of experience are really worth and the value in them. And you know, I see it, these communities were built out of the desire for creating a new world around nature's values, and really we built through consensus and love. And we feel that this kind of gives us, because we do have decades of genetics, a way to kind of turn the tables around, because the industry is going to need these genetics to stabilize themselves.
Right. Very good point. Yeah. It seems like these legacy growers or small farmers kind of get pushed aside with legalization, you know, between, you know, the taxation and regulations and all of that, and corporate interests, you know, they kind of come in and have these giant grows, right? So it seems like all of that is really impacting the legacy farmers who have been there since the beginning. Just doesn't seem fair, does it?
Yeah, well, it's not fair. It's incredibly unjust. And I would say, you know, there's lots of human right and constitutional violations around a lot of policies across the U.S. Mm-hmm. Really, policy's been written from a financial perspective and not how do we build the best communities perspective. And I think if we looked at it from that, from a human rights perspective, we would see that not only the legacy farming communities, but there's urban communities and cultures that have been directly impacted and have had their human rights violated. And even today, even when you're going through the licensed market, you can still have an unexpected inspection with guns and full SWAT gear, which sure does feel wow. like an inspection. It feels like you're being raided.
Right.
And those things are still incredibly unjust. There's another part that is not happening that is really impacting these communities and the plant. Product makers and the brand builders are just beginning to understand that there's something special about Jill's weed that's sun grown, that are her own genetics. Mm-hmm. We don't know what that is yet, but we know there's something. In fact, through this process, we've discovered a very unique link in a DNA chain through one of our community's genetics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the whole community's genetics. It's a skunk, which everyone likes to talk about.
Uh-huh.
Yet this allele that we've discovered is very rare. We don't know if it's because of the genetics. We don't know if it's because of the environment it was grown in, or is it because of the breeder's process. What we do know is it's very special and rare. And we believe as we start teaching our farmers, our consumers, our product makers and brand makers, how to look at this plant from mm-hmm. the plant's perspective, we're going to start really seeing the true gems come out of the Emerald Triangle.
Nice.
Through new genetics that these breeders create to empower the market.
Nice. So what are some of the solutions that you've come up with?
The real tangible solution that's on the table and we're launching in October is Canopy Right. Canopy Right is a very unique blockchain-like technology. We utilize blockchain along with some other stuff that the tech team, I am not the tech team, that the tech team really really immensely intelligent and very skilled tech team put together specifically to protect the breeders. You know, there's been a lot of trauma around genetics in these communities, and ownership, and not getting validated for their ownership. And so we created an app that will protect those genetics. So not even myself as an owner of this company has access to their DNA or their data. That is all in their hands. And it's completely free to all those creators, because right now those creators are struggling.
So this is an app that the farmers, the growers can utilize to save their genetics, save the information.
Yes, exactly. What it does is it creates a digital timestamp that creates like a copyright around the DNA, yet the DNA never leaves the breeder's hands. And then it also creates a database where what the Legacy Project has discovered is that the more data that we compile around the cultivars, the genetics, meaning history, emails, texts, lab reports, DNA tests, photos, documentation over the years, every little piece adds value to that cultivar. And so we created a place where you can put those values in and you can choose to show them to someone. You know, you when you do a DNA sequencing on a plant, you can really see, you can start to see, I mean, in cannabis, we need so much more information, but we're beginning to see the stories. And so if we all started looking at it from a more scientific perspective like that, there would be less snake oil in the market.
Very true.
We have a lot more products with integrity. You know, it would be harder to say, you know, I have a friend who only smokes Blue Dream. It would be harder to say, oh, this is Blue Dream, when it's really not Blue Dream.
Yeah. So this really, you can actually point to the quality and what people can expect from a certain cultivar. Because you mentioned Blue Dream, for instance, and I know I love Blue Dream. However, I have smoked it in different places and it is completely different, right?
Right, exactly. Well, now here's what's really exciting is there's more than two variables, but there's a couple of variables that impact that. One, yes, it is the cultivar. What was the original design of that plant? But also what matters is how was that plant grown? And where was that plant grown? Because that'll change the terpene profiles of it.
Yes,
it'll
right.
change how much THCV is in it. It'll shift all those things. So it'll shift the outcome for the patient and the user, which is so diverse and complex. And when we're talking about really healing patients, we need to utilize that complexity.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, a lot of the consumers are very young. Maybe they don't have health conditions that they're treating, but they're going to age too, right? And I think as people use the plant, maybe they start off using it so-called recreationally and they enjoy it. But as they, you know, age, maybe now they have a little arthritis or different conditions, and this plant that they relied on for to mellow out and relax, now they're looking to find out how can it help me in other ways. So this is so important. And, you know, the large corporations aren't going to go to this kind of trouble. They have different goals, I think, in mind.
Well, the large corporations need the genetic diversity that these communities have for a multitude of reasons. One is for crop stability. Right now, the majority of the commercial legal market is built on indoor created genetics.
Right.
Those genetics get powdery mildewed more, they get diseased more. If there's transition, they don't sustain through it more. We have most, our industry is outdoor. So mm-hmm. we have generations of well-studied, well-developed genetics that we know don't get powdery mildew in these conditions, et cetera, et cetera. And then when you're talking about true medicine and, you know, big pharma wanting, you know, to come, you know, you're just throwing CBD in something that is just so not truly what heals cancer, right? That is, mm-hmm. there's so much complexity in that. And until we really start understanding that and looking at it from that view as patients, because patients are the ones who are going to really change that conversation.
Right.
Then we lose our medicines. And mm-hmm. my community with all those medicines needs the patient's help to create greater awareness around this.
Right. So
when they go to the store and their joint says, you're going to have a peaceful, easy feeling, they are going to have a peaceful, easy feeling.
Right.
Feel jacked up or not locked out on the couch.
Yes, yes, so important. So how can people get involved in this project, or are you looking for donations? How can the community help you?
Thank you. Well, we are going to be hosting a buyer's tasting event for some very unique genetics. The one that I mentioned with the unique allele will be at that event. Nice. And then we're going to be hosting an auction next year around these genetics. But the buyer's tasting event will be, we haven't decided the exact date yet. Mm-hmm. I'll know next week, January, February. And you can find out more information at www.humboldtgrace.org. And then for breeders and cultivators out there, if you go to www.canopyright.info, you can find out all about the app. And you can find me at Humboldt Grace on social media, Humboldt Grace Legacy Project. And you can shoot me an email from any of those places and I'll get back to you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for all of your amazing work that you do on behalf of our plant and the community. It's so important. Thank you.
Right back at you, Wendy. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Brian Nickel, your cannabis expert for CannabisExpertMD.com with a cannabis pairing for The Edge Show. This week, we decided to pair cannabis with a movie. We selected 2007's Smiley Face. Now, that stars Anna Faris. She was the director's first and only choice for the heroine Jane F. in this. Now, Jane, she's a stereotypical stoner actress. She spends every day waking and baking before maybe going out for an audition or two. Most of her day is spent high. One morning, she wakes and bakes, gets the munchies, has a look in her refrigerator, and finds a tray full of cupcakes her rather scary roommate made, who also left a note on there not for her to eat it. Well, of course, she has one of them. One turns into 12. And a short time later, Jane realizes they were actually edibles. Well, of course, she spends the rest of her very, very high day getting to a wide assortment of hilarious predicaments that ends up in the end with her on a Ferris wheel holding a copy of the original Marx Communist Manifesto yelling at people below her. So it's a really fun movie, and I thought we would try to pick something different to go with this movie. And I decided I was going to give you a quick trip on making your own cannabis-infused cupcakes. For this, I decided to go the easiest route possible for people to make edibles, and that is to start with a concentrate. I selected Natural State Medicinals Gorilla Gum Dabbable Syringe. Now, being a concentrate, of course, it is quite potent. It is at 79% THCA.
Try CBD.
Oh, nice try, Mr. Producer. Not this time. No CBD at all in this. Looking at the terpenes, as we always do, it is potent at 2.46%. Lots of myrcene in there at 0.75%. Beta-caryophyllene is up next at 0.66%. Bunch of limonene in there at 0.45%. A lot of humulene at 0.23%. Pinene makes a real strong showing at 0.21%. And there's quite a bit of linalool, too, at 0.15%. Now, the myrcene, beta-caryophyllene, and linalool, they are going to be decidedly relaxing and chilling. She almost bordered a little bit on couch lock there, just the thing you need to watch a movie like this. The limonene and pinene, they're going to give a little sativa edge to this, give you some mood lift, maybe a little bit of energy and focus to the experience. Now, what you're going to do here is, I mentioned that there is THCA in the dabbable syringe. It is not decarboxylated. That's what heat does. THCA is not psychoactive. You need to get it to delta 9. You're going to do that by using a decarboxylation device such as this Ardent Nova here. There are other models available also that are very easy, reliable ways to do it. You can find other ways to do it on the internet. You're going to make your cupcakes like you always do. Just bake them in the oven after they come out. It is the frosting you're going to infuse. Be sure to use a buttercream or cream cheese frosting. The fat's going to add to the absorption of the THC. Squirt your decarb syringe in there and mix it up really well. When you spread it on a dozen cupcakes, you're going to end up with a dose of roughly 60 milligrams per cupcake. That is an extremely stout dose for most people. Start off with a half of one. Have it about 30 minutes before you start the movie and wait a full hour before you decide you need more. Otherwise, your smiley face day could take a decided turn for the worst, as Jane's did. For more information on all things medical cannabis, be sure to check us out at CannabisExpertMD.com. We're also available on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Relevant under CannabisExpertMD.
We love it when you listen or watch The Ed Show on any of the stations and platforms that it's available. But if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button, like, and comment. Well, that was a cool pairing from Cannabis Expert MD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never seen that movie.
I've never seen it either, but you know, he's talking about infused cupcakes, and here where I'm staying in Massachusetts, I gave a call to my housemate, Sophia, one Friday, and I had had a terrible day at work.
Yeah.
And when I got home, she had a little apron on in the kitchen and had made a whole bunch of infused cupcakes.
Oh, wow.
And then she was kind of like a little bit regretful that they were all infused, because you can really only eat like one, right?
Miss out on the joy of eating more than one cupcake.
Right. Or like a half of one. It depends, you know. But yeah, they were absolutely delicious. And it really made my day much better, for sure.
Yeah. You didn't end up on a Ferris wheel, like, screaming to the world.
I did not. Okay. I did not. But it felt that way, maybe. They were very uplifting cupcakes, I have to say.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's for sure. Antonio grows here in Massachusetts, and in the sun organically. And so the product is just so good and great for smoking, infusing, whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, this project that Lelania is doing is really important. So I hope everyone will go and check out humboldtgrace.org. And think about, you know, how you can preserve the legacy market wherever you are, and what you can do really to preserve those genetics. I think all of that is just vitally important to cannabis medicine. We're really talking about medicinal use, for sure.
So that you know what you're getting and what works for you each time, right? And it's available.
Yes, and let's make sure that the small craft farmers are not left behind to big corporations, and that patients are not left behind when full legalization comes in. Well, have a great week, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
The Ed Show is sponsored in part by
The Relevant App, 131 Inclusion Gallery, Irie Bliss Wellness, Lindsay Camp with Synergy One Lending,